as I was sitting there, the Lord just began to minister to my heart, Kelly, you need to pray because there's people that are right now up in this service and they're concerned about their loved one. And you want that loved one saved, you want them delivered, and you want them healed. And you know what? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. Church is not something where it's all on the pastor. It's something that it's a moment where all my job is, Stephanie, is just to help you make the connection. That's it. You can't have a relationship with Jesus Christ through your pastor. I can't get there and constantly for you, but I can point you to the right direction. I can help you make that connection. And see, this morning, if you're troubled about anything, what I want you to do is just throw those hands up to God and begin to love on God. What does that do? Well, the Word of God says that God comes in and He begins to inhabit the praises of His people. What does He do after that? He begins to hear them. He begins to feel what is concerning them. And you know what? I would just encourage you right now to call out to God, lift up holy hands, and tell God, tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you're thankful for Him. God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You, Lord, for each and every single person. God, under the sound of my voice, if you're listening to me in your car right now, if you're listening to me in your home right now, I want you to lift up your hands because, see, the presence of God is coming to you right now. In Jesus' name, God, I thank You, Lord, God, that every person that is sick right now, God, however, if they're hearing me right now, God, and they're sick, Lord, I thank You that You've healed every part of their body right now. God, You've healed them from the inside out. God, every emotion, God, that's been hurting right now, God, I thank You that You're healing it. Lord, I thank You for those family members, God, and those friends that we're concerned about, God, that we were worried about. God, I thank You that You've kept them. God, I thank You that You continue to keep them. God, I thank You that You're protecting them. God, every person, God, that's in rebellion right now against You, God, I ask You right now, God, to save them. God, save them from the inside out. God, where they never want to turn their back on You, Lord. God, I thank You that every form of addiction is broken in Jesus' name. God, I thank You for every moment of peace that You're pouring up into Your children right now. And I call all these things done, God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, but you don't have to be. This is not a scripted service where I have to go by an outline that I've created. Look here, I'm going to go by the Holy Ghost. I don't care what the place down the street is doing. I don't care what the place behind us is doing. I care about one thing, and it's about being able to hear God's voice and to deliver what He wants to say. You're not here by accident this morning. You were here because, see, God wanted you here. God said, hey, I'm gonna get them up in that service, and I'm going to begin to speak to them. I'm going to get them up in that service, and I'm going to calm the peace that they ain't had all week. See, has the devil gotten you upset? Has the devil come in this week and gotten your feathers ruffled? Look here. This is how you fight your battle. You get up every morning and you look at that devil and you tell that devil he has to go. He doesn't have the authority to stay unless you give him a welcome and dare. Amen? Now let's go to Daniel chapter 10. And it says right here, we're going to start in verse 1. What I've learned is you don't have to go to a million places in God's Word because look here, line upon line, precept upon precept, word after word is full of things if we'll just get in touch with it. And right here in Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Look here, God wants to give you a revelation. God wants to give you a revelation. Thank you, Brother Charles. God wants to give you a revelation. God wants to show you things that your natural self could never even conjure up. Why do I use that terminology? Because we all folks here, and we conjure some things up. Anybody ever do some conjuring? Look here. That's my main MO. I'll conjure something up. It is not reality. But God wants to give you a revelation. God wants to give you a revelation. And he gave this revelation to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar, and its message was true. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God that he's told you, every word of it's true. Every word of it will come to pass. Look here, if you get up into the middle of a rebellion, it's still true. Amen? Alrighty. If you get up into the middle of something, it still holds true. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. And at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Look here, anything ever come up in your life and it makes you to just mourn? You ever get up in the middle of life and all of a sudden, Daniel, life just got real. Something done popped up you did not expect. He says, I mourned about this thing for 3 weeks. You ever had a good mourning session for 3 weeks? Ever had a good pity party for a couple months? Amen. Why am I preaching about pity parties? Because, look, I like to have them. I'd be the first one to tell you, if I even think somebody's looking at me wrong, I'm like, Jeremy, did you see that? He goes, Kelly, you crazy. Stop it. Look here, I'll go ask somebody else till they saw it too. It says here, he mourned for 3 weeks. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision, and at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, you know what I find ironic about trials and tribulation? Look here. If you're anything like me, you can't even remember what you ate last night when you were binge eating. But by golly, you get yourself to talking about something you done been through, you can tell I went through that problem in my life for 3 weeks, 4 days, 7 hours, and 37 minutes and 2.2 seconds. Why? Because battles like to stick up inside of you. Even when God delivers you out of the battle, sometimes we're still meditating on it. You ever talk to somebody, something done happened to them long time ago, and you bring that up, and by golly, they'll tell you verbatim what happened, and it was 25 years ago. They're still living up in the battle that God took them out of. And it said here, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. Look here, Daniel knew exactly where he was. That's us. We get up in the middle of something that grieves us. 20 years will go by and you'll remember exactly where you were standing the moment somebody said that thing to you. You'll remember exactly where you were the moment that your heart broke over whatever happened. You'll remember every single detail about the thing. Is that true or not? It's true. And he said, I was standing there at the Tigris River, and I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. And his body was like a chrysalis, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Look here. There are times when God's going to show you something, and you're going to be the only one he shows that to. Amen. You're going to have to go with it. When God's vision makes you look like a nutbag, you're going to have to just go with that. See, God will find one person, because they're hard to come by. They're hard to find. It's hard for God to just look and find one person that'll do whatever he says to do, that'll do whatever he says to say. See here? It's hard. Because a lot of times what God tells us to do doesn't make any sense. A lot of times what God calls us to do and wants us to do and tells us what to say, we don't want to say it because it goes against every grain in our body. Forgive your enemies. No. That goes against every grain in my body. I won't forgive them jerks. You don't know what they did to me. Look here. You start being a Christian, God's going to tell you to do some things you don't want to do. But let me tell you this. When God shows you a vision, many times he'll only show it to you. And you're going to have to go with it. You're going to have the biggest britches in the world to get up and just do what God told you to do. When it looks like it's going all bad, when it looks like it's falling through the cracks, you got to still suit up and show up and say, God, I'll do it because you said to do it. God, I'm not going by what I see. God, I'm not going by what the situation looks like. God, it don't matter what the situation looks like. God, look here. God showed me a vision one time, Stephanie, way before I ever started preaching. I was just kind of dabbling. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. I'm 34 years old. And God said, Kelly, there will be a time where you preach and you'll be looking back and you can't even see for all the heads that you're going to be ministering to. Look here, I ain't had that. I haven't lived that out. But look here, I'm going to. I'm going to. How does it start? Right here today. Don't get discouraged about your vision. And don't let other people slip you up. Look here, it don't matter what they say. Everybody's going to say something. Most of the time, it ain't going to be what you want to hear. You're going to have to know what God said. You're going to have to know what he's shown you. And it says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision, and the men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. And a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, you who are highly esteemed. It's time that we know who we are. Daniel, I've shown you a vision that I'm not showing anybody else. Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Who are you this morning? Are you busted up, brokenhearted? Are you down in the dumps? Or are you to a point where you just can't feel anything in your life, good or bad? You just numb? And it says here, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you. Consider carefully. Aunt Patty? Okay, we got one of them. There's too many women up here not to be taking care of these babies and letting people enjoy the service. I'm all about enjoying the service. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully. What did we talk about last week? There were some things that needed to be considered. That's what I preached on last week. There's some things we got to consider. Got to show you a vision. He only shown it to you. Sounds crazy. We're going to have to consider that he knows more than we do. Consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Look here, God wants to tell somebody in here today, don't be afraid. Don't be messed up about what your circumstance looks like. Don't be tormented by that situation. See, somebody going to bed and they're tormented every night. They got those racing thoughts and then you wake up in the morning and they're there again. God's telling you, look here, don't be afraid about that thing anymore. Anymore. And then he continued, Daniel, don't be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Another translation says this right here. Daniel, from the very first moment that you prayed that prayer, I heard you. I heard you from the very first time. He was troubled. He was in mourning for 3 weeks. Some of us stay in a period of mourning for years, for decades, for months. And you're thinking, is God ain't hearing this? Is he not hearing me? Look here. God's hearing you. He heard you from the very first time that you prayed that prayer. He heard you from even before you prayed that prayer. You get up into a battle. You get right up in the thick of it. Look here. When you're up in the thick of it, there's a few things you got to know about the battle. Number one, you're going to have a big audience because everybody likes to look at people struggling. They want to see how you're going to handle it. That's just reality. I've always been up for giving folks a show. Good or bad. Not always good. Look here. It's very easy for God to be gotten glory out of when you having your good days. What about when you having some not so good days? You get up in the middle of a battle. You've been in that battle for a while. You start thinking, this ain't working. This ain't never going to break loose. It's going to always be this way. I'm going to always have this trouble. I'm going to always have this person in my life that's just, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do. It's just a constant thing. Look here. I've been there. I was walking down my steps one day and I said, God, I was talking about a particular person I needed delivered from. Ever need delivered from somebody? Let me tell you something. Every person that you need delivered from, they ain't all sent from devil. Some of them sent from the Lord to help you out in a way that you do not like. I said, my God, you said all authority was placed by you, and I am sick of this authority. I don't like them. I'm tired of them. They're bullying on me every day for the past 13 years. I about had it. I began to have myself a pity party. I was walking down the stairs, my house. And I was just telling God how fed up I was. Then I started crying because, see, I didn't feel like he was listening. I wanted him to know how serious it really was. Look here, if just telling God ain't going to work for me, I will start the theatrics. So then I just start crying. God, I told you I was done with him. Now when are you just going to let me be done? I'm walking down the stairs. He said, Kelly, you can take it one more day. Not what I wanted to hear. You can take it one more day. You can take that mistreatment one more day. Why? Because, see, look here, it's getting those edges on you that's rough. It's tearing them off. Because look here, you rough, girl. You rough. Not that you ain't good, but you just rough. You don't think God will send somebody to kind of get you on your toes? Yes, he will. You don't think iron sharpens iron? Yes, it does. It does. I went on to do that one more day for several more days, for months. One day, it was just done. It was it. It took me about a year to stop reflecting on that battle that God had delivered me from. And he said, now look here, you've been telling me this whole time, if you just didn't have to deal with this, you'd be so happy. A year later, you're not, I've been having to deal with this. And see, you're still the same old miserable person. Why? Because see, it ain't that person that made you miserable. It ain't that job. It ain't that mean old hag. It ain't nobody. See, Kelly, it's you. It's you. You're just not happy. You got to learn when you're just an unhappy person. You got to learn it and you got to own it. Because look here. Your happiness is not the obligation or the responsibility of any person. Do not put your happiness wrapped up into another person. You do that, you're going to have a disaster. Jeremy is not responsible for my happiness. Look here, he could not make me happy if he tried. If I was only depending on him, no. You know why? Because you know what I've learned about myself? I've learned that I have to really try to just have joy and to be happy because I'm not a very happy person on my own. See, I'm talking real. Can you be real? See, can you at least by yourself be like, man, I'm a miserable person. No. I'm just straight up miserable.
I can relate.
Yeah. Be real with yourself. I spent a year after that trial crying about the trial.
Glory to God.
I couldn't even go to that town. Why? Because I didn't like them. I'd head over that town and I would start getting anxiety. Why? Because I didn't want to run into them. You know what I said to God the other day? God, there's some repenting that I need to do. God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you right now, put them in my steps. Let me run into them, God, because I need to repent. Now, I could say all day long, well, they did this and they did that. And I could justify some things because them people was wicked. But look here, Stephanie, I was wicked. See? You want to fight your battles? That's going to only come when you can be honest. When you can look at yourself and say, you know what? I was straight up wicked. Ooh. Bad, Kelly. You did that? I can't believe you did that. Look here, I've done things I couldn't even believe I did. Surprised me. I didn't know they were coming out of my mouth. Nope. Be that person that says, you know what, God, help me to learn. Help me, give me a second chance to make a different impression on that person. God, I showed my butt. Help me to show the better part of me, which is you. You're the only good part of me. Help me to get that right. God, help me to be a better person and to just repent. And it says here, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Your words were heard. Look here, the first time that you prayed that prayer, God heard it. He heard it. When it seems like nothing's happening, when it seems like everybody's against you, when it seems like the odds are against you, from the very first moment that you said that prayer, he heard it. And then what do? We go along here and it says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to in response to them. See, there's a day of reckoning for every situation that you're going through. Every problem that you face has a shelf life. The devil capitalizes on people in bad moments, and he gets them to believing that every situation is a permanent thing. It's not. What you're going through right now, that is not permanent. Every day that you get up and you decide you're moving forward, that is one day that's behind you, one day closer to getting you to, you'll wake up one day, that trial will be gone. It'll be gone in such a blunder, you'll think, where did it go? Ooh. I stayed for 1 year in shock over what happened with that problem. That God, that was gone so quick. I don't even know what's going on. Sometimes it takes your mind a little bit of time to catch up to how God did something. Why? Because it was never how you intended it would happen. God will do some things you didn't think he was going to do them that way. Get out of your head and stop thinking that he has to do it a certain way. God don't have to do nothing. He is God, and he's God all on his own. He don't have to do something the way that your pea brain thinks he's got to. I've had some solutions for the Lord, and by golly, if he handled them that way, I'd just be going through the problem all over again because they would not be handled right. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. What did he say in the very beginning? For 3 weeks, I mourned. For 3 weeks, I had a bad time. For 3 weeks, I was tried. For 3 weeks, I grieved. Look here, this being right here, he's saying, for 21 days, I heard it. God heard you. But for 21 days, there was a resistance. There was a resistance. The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Look here, God has a vision for you. God has some things that he's going to show you. He may only show them to you. There may be something in your life that's troubling you. You know what seems to trouble me is just the unknown. How is that going to work out? On my bad days, is it going to work out? On my really bad days, it's not working out. On my really bad days, I'm in my king-size bed with the blanket. It's not working out. God, did I tell you it wasn't working out? My husband says, you are just like a squirrel. You know? I told y'all last week about me being in my living room, and I was standing there, and I was just up in the middle of a battle. Look here, what I've learned about battles. You got your good days and you got your bad days. You got your days where you're a good Christian person up in them battles. I love those days. Means I'm acting right. Means there's a better chance of God perfecting the situation that day. You get me in a battle on a bad day, I don't know what I'll say. I don't. You get yourself going. But see, I was just having one of those in-between days. And I just began to just cry. I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated with the situation. Why? Because it didn't seem like there was any change in it. Like, okay, I can take it if there's a little bit of good change. I can almost take it if it's change for the worse. But when there's no change at all, it's like trying to watch ice freeze. You just sit there. No change. And I just had my fill of it. And I said, God, I've been a bad girl in this situation, and I've been a good girl in this situation. Now I don't even know what type of girl I am. All I know is that I believe that you are who you say that you are. God, I'm weary in this moment. I don't even know what to pray. God, I always know what to say. I'm a blabbermouth. But God, this situation has gotten me so bumfuzzled. I don't even know what to say to you about it. I don't know what to pray. If you can keep it real with God, He keep it real with you. He said, Kelly, pray that those angels go to that person right now. You don't think God can send His angels? He says He sends them to take care of you every day. If God showed you every time that He saved your life, and you didn't even know it, we'd all be a lot more grateful. He saves us all the time. We have no clue. He helps us all the time. We've got no clue. And it says here, I'm going to show you a vision about your people. Y'all got some people you concerned about? You say, God, I wish you'd show me something about them because I'm concerned. A lot of us, it's our families. You want to get in a real good battle? Have a family problem. Look, I ain't afraid to preach about family problems. I think it's just good that the pastor's family keep it real so y'all can feel like everything's okay when you have a family problem. Amen. You got the type of pastor, look here, if you pry too much, I'll just tell you, oh yeah, I'm having this type of problem. I got a bad attitude today. You want to sit around for coffee? I'll tell you why. Look here, if you sit for donuts, you're just staying all day. I'm just going to tell you all my problems. I'm going to corner you and you're only getting bathroom breaks. Care, I'll tell you. It's okay to have a family problem. It's okay to have a marital problem. It's okay to have a sibling rivalry problem. That's okay. Ain't none of my siblings here. Preach on that all day long. It's not a problem having a problem. The problem is when you think you just want to keep covering up the problem. We just read where there was some resistance. You don't think you're going to get resistance? You're going to get some resistance. You don't think somebody's going to say, no, that ain't happening. No, you ain't getting what we told you was going to get. No, that ain't going to be how that works for you. I've learned that when I'm told no about something, that's almost a challenge. I don't take no for an answer. I just keep going. Look here, about 99% of the time, that works. To my own fault. One time I wanted this house. Brother Sam will tell you. Man, that was a challenge. I was going to have it. I was going to have that house. I didn't even ask God if that was the house He wanted for us. I was just determined. I had a little adversity. I had some people wanting to get in on me and I done bid first. I done offered first. Look here, I got up in the middle of the night in our little 1,100 square foot house that you couldn't turn around in. If me and Jeremy decided to turn around in that house at the same time, we was bumping bellies. That ain't good. And I went and sat on the couch at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and all I could hear was Jeremy snoring in the bedroom. Nothing is more irritating to me when somebody's able to rest and have peace and I can't. Look here. If I ain't having peace, I don't want you to have peace, Jeremy. Nope. I want you to be in some agony just like me, because I'm a worrier and I'm a fretter and I'm a scrapper. And this is not going my way. So I got up in that couch at 3:30 in the morning. All I can hear was... And I was going. I just started crying then. See, when I get frustrated, I'm a crier. I just get to my point where I just want to have a boo-hoo fit, and I usually do. So I got up in there on that couch, and God said, Kelly, did I tell you that was the house for you? I said, well, it all went so fast, I'm not really sure if you said anything. Honestly, Lord, I don't know. I have no idea. Did you? It's like when you're half listening to your spouse or your parent or somebody, and you're just going to go in along, and you're really just going to do your own thing, and you're just going to let them talk. Same thing. He asked me that, and I said, I don't know. He said, well, I didn't. That's not the house for you. That's a problem. I said, well, if one more thing comes up with that house, God, I'll just walk away from it. God knows I'm the hardest-headed person ever. I always have to have that one thing. Well, if it happens one more time, then, Lord, I know it's coming from you. Look here, if you can just be one of those people that'll just go with the flow with the Lord and not need that one more time, you're going to come out ahead. Because look here, I lost a bunch of money in that gig. I said, okay, Lord, if one more thing goes on. Well, about 4 or 5 hours later in that day when I got off the couch and stopped crying about it, I was sitting at work and I got that call and one more thing had happened. And all I could hear was the Lord. Now, you said if there was one more thing. Kelly, I'm trying to help you from something you don't want, from something that I'm not putting a blessing on. Now look here, that mistake, that hard-headedness cost my little family some money. I got the best husband in the world, because let me tell you something, he didn't bat an eye over that. I called him up. I said, Jer, we ain't buying that. I'm beginning to think that's not what God has. He goes, this is how Jeremy handles all of my shenanigans, by the way. Well, okay. And I was like, I'll see you tonight. But you know what I did? I let the Lord chastise me over that. I went through a couple things because I stepped out of line. How did I step out of line? I'll tell you. Number one, I went from God. I went out of His will. I didn't even ask Him what His will was. Number two, I stepped out of the line of my role and who I am. Look here, I'm not one of those women pastors that's going to be like, now my husband is just the helper and I'm the head honcho. See, that ain't how that works. And if that's how you are in here, women, God can't bless that. What He can bless is a big mouth woman that says, look here, here's my opinion, husband, but look here, you, the head of the house, what do you say? What do you say about that? You know what I did? I said, God, I'm sorry. I stepped out of line. I let my kids go in there and pick out their bedroom. Now I feel guilty. I let my husband go pick out his office and this and that, and now I feel really guilty. I told Jeremy, I said, babe, I messed up. See, a lot of times in a marriage, there's the inability to say, honey, I just messed up. Because what we want to say is this right here. Well, I messed up, but it was because you blah, blah, blah. No. You messed up because you messed up. Stop blaming that on your poor husband or your poor wife. You messed up because you messed up. Just own it. I said, babe, I just messed up. I've just always wanted that house. I always loved that house. And I just messed up. Just because you want something doesn't mean that's what God has for you. You can want an old fella or old gal. She gonna say everything right, look the right way, and by golly, when you get that package open about 5 years later, you gonna wish that you had just said, God, I just messed up. I don't want that. She ugly on the inside. He's mean. He looks at my kids wrong. So, baby, I just messed up. It's not your fault. It's not the kids' fault. It's not Sam's fault. This one was Kelly's fault. I messed up, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry that you're disappointed. Carson, Mommy's sorry that's not going to be your bedroom. I'm sorry. I messed up. Can you just say you just messed up? Well, then I said, honey, we don't even have to buy a house right now. Whenever you're good and ready to pay for one, you just start looking, and if you find one that you think that you like, make an appointment and I'll go look at it. I'm going to let you have the final say. We walked into the house that we now live in. I'll be honest, on first glance, I wasn't like super crazy about it because it had stairs and I'm a little lazy. There's 14 stairs up. I mean, you don't realize how that is until you're sore after a month of living there and you're thinking, why did I do this to myself? Jeremy said, man, there's just something about this and this is what God has for us right now. We looked at that house in the dark. The electric wasn't even on. I couldn't even see it, really. I said, did you say this is what God has for us? Okay. He said it. I said, now, Jeremy, what would we like to offer? He told me, and I said, we're going to go lower than that. And you know what? The rest is history. But look here. You got to learn how to listen to God. You got to learn how to say, you know what? God, you've showed me something, and it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen, but God, you've shown it to me for a reason, and I'm just going to believe that you're going to handle that. Nothing is ever going to look like what God's shown you till the very end. The very end of a thing, you're going to see that was the Lord. It may take a little bit. There were some 21 days of resistance here. And see, he went on, and he said, while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth, and I began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision that my Lord shown me, and I am helpless. Sometimes God shows you something and it's really big and it's overwhelming. You want to talk yourself plumb out of that? No, could not do that. Mm-mm. Give yourself 5 years. You'll be able to do it then. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't get insecure about yourself. If God showed it to you, he'll be able to help you. It's not that he calls the people that are equipped. It's not what he does. He equips each person that he calls. He equips them. When years ago, Dad said, Kelly and Jeremy, I believe that God wants y'all to take the church over one day. When he said that, the first day he said that, well, let me tell you, all the deacons laughed about that, and so did I. And Jeremy just did what Jeremy always does. But you get further into a thing about a decade or so later, and you start saying, look here, God, is that what you need? You need somebody that'll just say it like it is? I'll do it. See? And again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. He said, don't be afraid, O man, highly esteemed. He said, peace, be strong now. See, you got to be strong right now. You got to be strong right now. You want to get somewhere? Be strong right now. Don't prolong it one more day. See, there's folks prolonging some things. You say, now God's going to understand this sin for this period of time. I wouldn't do the Lord's talking for him. You don't know. Be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. And then he began on to tell him all the things that was going to happen with his people. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 15 and verse 29. This is for all the people concerned about what somebody else is doing. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Look here, somebody not treating you the way that you should be treated? Don't give them what they deserve. Give them what God wants them to have. What does he want them to have? He wants them to have Jesus. Show them Jesus. It may take everything that you got not to pop them right in the head, but I'm going to ask you not to pop them. I'm going to ask you to bless them. Somebody saying something ugly? You just practice that ability to be able to just take it. You don't always have to say something. You don't. Why? Because look here, God hears you. God ain't hearing everybody. He don't hear everybody. I'm about to take you to a place where it says very plainly, God doesn't hear everybody. God will hear somebody that's righteous, somebody that's really purely calling out to him. Ain't everybody calling out to Jesus? Ain't everybody cares about Jesus? Lots of folks, they happy the way they are. They're happy with what they're doing. And here's what we do with those people. I have done this for many, many years, and it's not till the past couple years where I've learned how ineffective this really was. I'm going to give you all my epiphany, and it's probably just common knowledge to everybody else. I have people, I love them, and I want them to do right. To the point, if they don't do right, I'm going to tongue lash them in a not-so-good way. And then, Tessa, what I'll do is I'll be sitting here in church. I did this for years. I'm like, where is that person? You mean they didn't come to church after I griped them out, after I called them every terrible name in the book? That's what we do. A lot of times we'll get on somebody and get on to them and get on to them and judge them and judge them and say things and say things. Then we'll sit up in church. We don't know why they didn't come to church. Well, because they're tired of that. They're trying to avoid you. They know you at church, so they ain't going to be in church. They don't need your judgment. They just need you to love them. You don't even got to understand them. You probably won't understand them. Why? They don't understand themselves. Do you understand yourself all the time? I hardly understand myself very little. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. God knew exactly the moment you would step into the trial that you're in. If you ain't in a trial, look here. Be happy and know this. God knows the moment that you will step into your next trial. He knows that the very moment that you even start praying that prayer to help you get out of it. It says here that they don't even stop speaking, and I've already heard them. Before they call, before you pray, He's answering you. While you're speaking, He's hearing you. In the very moment that you're talking, He's hearing you. Now, there may be a resistance, but He still heard you, and He still came. He's going to come. Last place for me, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God. God wants you to approach Him. You ever met somebody and they're very unapproachable? You tired to even, you scared to even ask them something. They're unapproachable. And He says here, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. See, sometimes you won't ask for something because you don't feel like you've been good enough to get what you're asking for. You won't ask for something because you feel like you made too many mistakes to get what you're asking God for. You've gone too far. You don't have the confidence that it takes to really ask God. God, I know I've messed up. God, I know I've been terrible. But God, I'm asking You to help me. And if we know that He hears us, see, do you know that He's hearing you? Do you know He hears you? Because that's important. You ever talk to one of your kids and they're having a moment and you're just trying to get through to their little heartstrings and you're trying to tell them, I love you so much. Are they hearing me? You know, especially you get boys and you're thinking, you know, you're trying to talk to them. And it says, and we know that He hears us. We know He hears us. God wants us to know that we're heard. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked Him for. You're about to be in a new year. There's things that need to be considered. There's things that God wants to bless you with. It has nothing to do with you deserving them or not. It's not a question. God doesn't say, now does my kid deserve that? Because I'm only giving out stuff today to the ones that's been good. No. Because He wouldn't be able to give any of us anything to a degree. But God wants to pour out such a blessing to you that you can't even contain all the blessing that He's got coming to you. But He wants you to know this one thing. From the very moment that you prayed that prayer, He heard you. Don't get discouraged. Don't get upset. Don't get mad at God and don't leave God. He heard you. He heard you, and what He's doing is He's working on it. There's probably more people than just you connected to that situation. If He has to turn hearts over here, He'll turn hearts over here. If He has to move people's opinions to something else, He'll move them over here. You just can't be defeated by feeling like He didn't hear you, because I'm here today to tell you that He told me, tell them I heard them. I heard them. And I'm going to do what I told them I would do.